Hello, everybody. I will be leading us in the scripture reading today. If you can please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 16. If you need a Bible, please raise your hands and the ushers will provide you for one. Does anybody need a Bible? All right, great. And if you're using the church Bible, it's on page 952. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But that, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jonathan. All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Cornerstone. How's everyone this morning? Doing okay? It's been a rough week, a lot of rain, but glad to see everyone here again. So we're going through this series in 1 Corinthians, calling it Body Life, because Paul is addressing issues in the church, like he does in many of his letters to the churches, addressing issues that come up. And these issues here in the Corinthian church are causing division, as we learned last week. Right? There's a lot of reasons for division. And many of the powerful people in the church, especially in Corinth, seem to be the ones who are influencing this conflict, who are kind of fueling this conflict going on. And Paul is urging the people of Corinth to set aside their differences and to join together and come together as one. And he sees that these people are trying to one up each other. They're trying to prove that their arguments are right. And Paul wants them to get rid of all this divisiveness so that they can come together for the purpose of glorifying God, for spreading the gospel instead of just fighting all the time. So that is what Paul is trying to do. He wants them to witness effectively to these unbelievers. So chapter 2, we see he's still kind of setting up like why he's sending this letter and what it takes to create unity in the church. And we'll see later on he addresses certain particular issues. But here he's still kind of setting up the rest of the letter that he's going to be sending to these people. And here in chapter 2, Paul is urging to be wise people, right? To have wisdom. This chapter is all about having wisdom from the Spirit. And we see that being wise doesn't come from anything else except from God, right? Wisdom only comes from the Spirit of God. And so we're going to get into this idea of what it means to have God's wisdom, to have godly wisdom in our lives, and how it affects us individually, right, in our personal lives, how we make decisions in our personal lives, but also as a church, corporately,
what that means for us, how we deal with relationships in the church and conflict that may arise in the church as well. So bow with me in prayer, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning once again together as your church here in this place. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together. It is truly a blessing, and Lord, that we can be in community, that we can learn to love each other and to live together for the sake of the gospel, to grow in Christ, to draw closer and closer to you. And Lord, it is through community that we can do these things. And so we thank you for that, God. And Lord, we do know that there is conflict that occurs in the church, that there is division that occurs. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to learn what it means to be wise in our lives here today, and to be wise when these divisions and conflicts may arise. So Lord, just help us here today to understand this, to convict our hearts, to things that we may need convicting of, and just speak to us here powerfully by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those who do not have God's wisdom, for those who do not have the gospel in their hearts, right? Apostle Paul is saying that these people will see the cross, will see the gospel of Christ as folly. That's how he shares it in this chapter, right? It is foolishness. He says that in chapter 1, right? So the cross is foolishness. The gospel is foolishness to people who do not understand this wisdom. Right, who do not understand who God truly is. Right, when I was in youth group during a Sunday school one time, we were talking about examples of when our friends thought Christianity was foolish. And one friend, a friend of mine in youth group, said that his friends asked him to go hang out on a Sunday. I think it was like going to the beach or something. So like they're having a hangout, right? And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to church that day." And his friend responded basically by saying, like, why do you spend your time at church every Sunday? Like, what do you do there? I feel like all you do at church is you listen to some pretty old music with, like, you know, organ sounds and all that, right? And you know, if you're Catholic, you don't even sing in your own in English. You sing in Latin, so you don't even understand what they're saying, right? And after that, what do? You just hear someone talk for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, 50 minutes, depending on what church you go to, right? You just basically hear some mediocre music, and you hear someone talk, and it's really boring, and it's just basically a lecture, right? That's all you basically do on Sunday. Like, why do you do that? Why do you waste your time doing this every week? And that's their perception of what church is, right? That is how they view church. You come here, you listen to some mediocre musicians play guitar and play piano, right? And then you hear some guy talk, you know, for 40, 45 minutes. Of course, our praise team is above mediocre, right? Right? So that's the perception that people may have. And, you know, my friends would ask me the same, like, you know, they'd be like, "Oh, you want to go hang out on Sunday or whatever?" And honestly, sometimes I'd be embarrassed to tell them where I was going sometimes, or that I'd be going to church. Because from a worldly perspective, it is kind of like ridiculous. And especially as teenagers, they think it's kind of silly and a waste of time to spend, you know, one out of the two weekend days you have at church. Right? So it is foolish to them to come here. And for a person who does not have the gospel in their hearts, for a person who does not have Christ in their hearts, yeah, this is very, very foolish to spend your time here. And of course, that's an example of what teenagers might be saying. But for adults, it's different. Going to church is not as foolish as what a teenager would think. It's not the same thing. You know, searching your faith, searching for God is something that many adults try to do. Many people find that very admirable, to find spiritual understanding and guidance in your life. So going to church is not as foolish as it is to a teenager, but the message of the gospel oftentimes does sound like complete foolishness. Right? The message of the gospel is kind of weird. Right? To be a part of this club, to be a Christian, right? You know, we say stuff like you have to surrender yourself to Christ, right? You know, such Christianese, surrender yourself to Christ. Like, what does that mean, right? And that phrase is, of course, not untrue. It's very true. And what it means is you have to surrender your own thinking, right? Surrender your heart, your life to Christ. It is us saying we need someone to save us. We need someone to come into our lives and save us from ourselves. And it is because we are horrible people, we are sinful people, and we need to surrender our lives to God in order for our lives to mean anything. And it's an admission of guilt. You're admitting that you are guilty. You're admitting that there is something wrong with you, that there is something utterly, deeply wrong with you, that you are so sinful as a human being, right? And the problem is human wisdom or worldly wisdom, right? Worldly wisdom puts humanity, right, human knowledge, human understanding, right, that is the pinnacle of what the world says is true and good, right? That is what worldly wisdom says. It comes from humans, the great knowledge that has come in our lives, right? Science that has developed, philosophy, the French Revolution, Enlightenment, all those things is an example of human worldly wisdom, and that has taken power in our world. That is considered to be the pinnacle of wisdom, the pinnacle of human life, what you're supposed to strive for to achieve these great things. Right? Humanity has done this. That is what human wisdom, worldly wisdom, teaches us. And you can think of, again, scientific breakthroughs, right? Understanding of biology, DNA, human inventions, right? Electricity, in industry, assembly line, right? How revolutionary was the assembly line when it first came to be? All these things are human wisdom, worldly wisdom. Look how great humanity is. We are on top of the evolutionary food chain. We are the best of the best, right? We rule this world. That is what worldly wisdom says, human wisdom says, that we are the greatest things in this world, right? And so because of that, it sounds foolish to say that we need something or someone to save us, right? There's no greater wisdom than human wisdom. But we would say no. As Christians, what we're saying is we are not self-sufficient. We are not truly wise, right? The only wisdom we can truly gain is from God and His power, because we are dreadfully sinful people. And we needed a Savior to forgive us of these sins and ultimately die for our sins. Right? In order to have life, in order for our lives to be worth something, to have any value at all, we need God. That is what God's wisdom tells us. And Paul is making this emphasis here for us in chapter 2. And we see here in this chapter, right, a comparison is happening. Paul is comparing between what is right wisdom and what is wrong wisdom. And this is all happening in the context of the church. And building faith, right? Paul is speaking to a specific church, and Paul is trying to teach them how to gain wisdom for the purpose of building faith, right? For the purpose of building the church in Corinth. But we know that building faith is not just about how we are to act as a church, right? Building faith is about how we are to act in our everyday lives. It's not just about Sunday coming, you know, to this building and to worship. It's not just about that time here. It's not just about Friday night life groups or fellowship times that we have. It's every part of our lives. Our faith encompasses every single part of our lives, and it's because it changes who we are. When we understand the gospel, it changes who we are. It changes what we live for. It changes our soul. And it should be leading us to live with wisdom from the Spirit of God. And that is in every single action that we make, every decision that we have. God's wisdom should be pouring into our hearts. And that should be changing how we live in our everyday lives. Not just building the church, and not just being here at church on Sundays or on Fridays or whenever you come here. It's not just about the church, but it's about every part of who you are. So according to Paul, right, we have right wisdom and we have wrong wisdom. Right wisdom is that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Right, and wrong wisdom is a wisdom that of this age, or the influence or the influences of this age, as Paul puts it. Right. So in other words, right wisdom is living according to God's purposes and will, while wrong wisdom is living according to the world's standards and influence. That's just basically a paraphrase of what Paul is saying here. And I was explaining what some of these world standards and influences might be just a moment ago, what human wisdom might tell you is right and is good. So we see in 1 Corinthians 2:6-7, right, it says, "We do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." Right? So how do we know what God has revealed to us through His Spirit? Right? Does this mean that God needs to be telling you all individually in your prayers, right, in some audible voice, hey Joe, you should be doing this and this, right? Or even a deeper voice, right? That's how you picture God. Hey Mary, like, you shouldn't do that. You should be doing this, right? Is this how it works? No, we know that we don't hear God in this way, right? We don't hear Him audibly. For the most part, I don't think any of us have probably heard God with an audible voice. But how do we know what it means to have the wisdom of the Spirit? And, we wish that it would just plop right onto our lap sometimes. I know that we have that desire sometimes where we feel, oh God, would you just tell me what you want from me? Just tell me. Like, why do I have to suffer here thinking about what is right and wrong? Why can't you just tell me what to do? So the question is, how do we know? How do we know what God's wisdom is? Right? So I'm just going to share two main ways I believe you hear God's wisdom. Okay? First, number one, you listen to what God has revealed through His Word. Right, you listen to what God has revealed through His Word. Excuse me. Remember that the sword of the Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Right? The Word of God, the Scriptures, goes hand in hand with the Spirit. So the Word instructs us and shows us what godly wisdom is. And a prime example of that is Proverbs. If you look at Proverbs, there are plenty of examples and different situations where we see wisdom being needed. And Proverbs is all about imparting wisdom to people. Right? Verses that show us what a wise woman, a wise man looks like. That is, Proverbs is a very clear example of that. But we see examples of wisdom throughout Scripture. Right? We see it all over Scripture. And I'm not going to bring out all the examples, but the overarching theme of what the Scriptures say is basically to act on His Word. Right? Act on the Word of God based on His love for you and your love for Him. Right? Act on His Word based on how much God has loved you and loves you. And now in response, how much you love Him because of what He's done. Right? So we are to act on the Word. And we know that acting on the Word is not easy. It is not an easy endeavor. It's not something that we can do very simply. Like, okay, now I'll do it. You know, let's go. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, there are some cases where it's very clear what scriptures want, right? God explains, or Paul, the Apostle Paul explains what is right and wrong very clearly sometimes, right? He says we are to be selfless, or to be caring, to be generous, or to be compassionate with people, right? When people are mourning, we are to mourn with them, right? That's what God teaches us, right? We're to have sexual purity, right? To not have sex before marriage. We're not to fall into drunkenness. Right? All these things are very clear in the Word. And we do all these things because of what God has done for us, right? God has loved us so much, right? And because of that love, we respond in love as well, right? And then that love for God grows and grows and grows in our hearts. And now we, instead of living for the worldly pleasure that we have, we instead want to live for God. We want to follow God. We want to enjoy His presence and be satisfied in what He has to offer for us. And that is what is happening in our lives. But there are also situations where we may not be sure. Right? We're not sure what's best. It's not written in stone, or it's not black and white as to whether or not we should be doing certain things, or following this path, or following this way, or going in this direction in our lives. Sometimes that's not clear. Right? And the biggest example that I could think of, and the biggest wisdom calls we have to make, is discerning our vocation, right? Discerning what kind of job we have. What job do I take? What type of job do I take? And traditionally, you know, how do we choose a job? How would the world tell us to choose a job, right? Basically, who gives you the most money, right? Which job is giving you the most money? And usually that is the offer you would take, you know, unless it's in, like, I don't know, Antarctica. You know, you don't want to move to Antarctica if you're not going to take that job, right? But for the most part, if it's not ridiculous, you will take the job with the most money. That is what everyone tells you to do, right? You take the most money, right? That's easy. And that's according to worldly wisdom. But as a Christian, you know, we should be approaching it asking ourselves, right, can we glorify God through my job? Can I glorify God through my job? Will this job help or hinder my progress in holding the value of knowing Christ as Lord? Or will it hinder that? Will it lead me away from that truth? Or will it puff me up, make me think that I don't need God anymore? Right? Will this job bring upon stress and pressure that will make me act against Christ? Right. Will this job allow me to be open about my faith, right, so that I can share the gospel with people around me? Yeah. Will this job make me do morally questionable things, right? Maybe I have to screw someone over, even though I know it's wrong. Will this job make me do that, right? And these are the types of questions we need to be asking ourselves, even with our vocation, right? Will this job have me compromise my values, right? Have me act in immoral ways? These are the questions we need to ask when we approach our vocation through the lens of God's wisdom, right? The Bible does not tell us exactly, oh, you should do this or you should do that. This job is okay. This job is not, right? You know, in the 2,000 years ago, we didn't have accountants, right? 2,000 years ago, we didn't have IT specialists, right? What the heck is an IT specialist, right? I don't even know what that means now, right? We didn't have a vice president of operations. Like, what kind of job title is that? I don't know what that means, right? There was no such thing as these job titles that we have now. This isn't written out plainly for us in the Bible for us to be like, oh, okay, I can do this, I can't do that, I can do this, I can't do that. But what God does is He imparts His wisdom, His spirit of wisdom upon us, right? When we know Him, when we study the Word, and we know God's character, right? That is when we begin to know what He desires of us, right? So when we look at Scripture, we look at the theme of Scripture, and we see how does God want us to live our lives according to what His Word says. Like, does my job, like, will that affect me living in an un-Christ-like way? Right? And I would say for many of us, it probably does. Your jobs probably do make you live in un-Christ-like ways. That is the reality of our world. When we have jobs in this world, they're going to make you do some things that you may not want to do, that may compromise your moral values. So we have to think, how can I avoid as much as I can to do these things in my vocation, right? Because you are working most of the time. That is what you are doing, right? The time you spend in your lives, you are mostly working, right? So how can you avoid compromising half of your life, basically? Right? You are compromising half of your life and saying, oh, I don't have to be Christian half of my life. That's utterly ridiculous. We cannot live that way. We cannot live according to the world or our human wisdom. Right? God wants all of our lives. So how can we live all of our lives with God's wisdom and for His glory? So that's number one. Number two, the second way we can hear God's wisdom in our lives is by knowing and coming to Jesus. Right? Know and come to Jesus. The more you are in love with Jesus, the more you experience the presence of God and His Spirit in your life, the more and more He will pour His grace upon you, and more you'll be able to discern what He wants for your life, right? So the more you are in tune with God, the more you know God intimately in your life, the more you will know God's wisdom, right? God will show His grace to you, and you will see what God wants in your life more clearly when you are close to Him, when you know Him that much more deeply, right? That just makes sense. Right? When you're in tune with the Spirit, you know how God wants you to live. You know what God is saying through His Word that much deeper. You know that you have to come to Him when decisions are hard, right? It just makes sense that the closer you are to God, the more that God will show you how to live and He will show you His wisdom. Right? And it's deeper than just knowing things in our head. I know a lot of us may know the answers in Bible studies. We may know the answers in life groups. Or we may know the gospel in our minds. And we may know what God has done for us and what Christ has done for us in our heads. And we can spit it back out to each other. But do we truly have Christ in our hearts? Right? Do we feel His presence in our hearts? Do we know Him intimately enough where we can, you know, surrender to God? Right? We come to God in prayer and surrender to Him. Do we have the capability to do that? Right? Do we enjoy His presence? Do we feel satisfied in Christ? Right? Do you connect with Him on a personal, deep, spiritual level? Right? Only in those moments do you really experience God and His Spirit and His wisdom. It's not just knowing the answers. Many of us know answers. But it's about deeply being connected to Christ in your heart. Right? So much so that all you want to do is to feel His presence and to live for Him in your everyday life. Right? Longing for Him, wanting Him more and more. And when you come to Jesus, He will reveal His plans for you. It will happen. He will give you a spirit of discernment and understanding. And God will send people to you. Right? That's what happens. God sends people to you to either rebuke you, to tell you, no, that's not the right thing to do, or to encourage you or affirm you. Say, yeah, I think God is telling you to go in this direction. Right? In my calling as a pastor, God affirmed my calling by sending people into my life, telling me, oh, Paul, I really think you do have the heart and the tools to do ministry, right? To basically be a pastor or to be a missionary. And it wasn't just one person. It was many people who affirmed that calling in my life. right? And I was very thankful for that God sent those people into my life, because of course I had doubts. Of course I had doubts about doing this for the rest of my life, right? And that was huge for me, and I knew that I needed it. And God does that to all of us. God sends people to instruct us, to tell us. Now, it's a matter of whether we hear that, or we see that, or we don't, or we ignore it. Or we're just like, psh, that's whatever. I don't need to listen to this guy. Right? And that depends on our hearts. Where are our hearts? Are our hearts open to that? Open to hearing what people have to say in our lives? And so, these affirmations are a huge part of us understanding God's wisdom as well. People will come into our lives and speak to us. Now, with this in mind, I know we have to be extremely careful. We need to be very, very careful. It is easy for us to be fooled by people who bring in worldly wisdom or the wrong wisdom, because the worldly wisdom can come under the guise of God's wisdom. Right? There are plenty of folks on television that will say that, you know, in the name of God, like, God will protect you, and God will provide for you, right? And God will anoint you. God will bless you abundantly as long as you make a recurring payment of $10.99 every month and dial this toll-free number right here on the bottom of the screen, right? And that's the part we need to be careful about, right? There are plenty of people who say that they have right wisdom, and they say it's God's wisdom, but it's not true. It's not God's wisdom. And they seem to be wise. They seem to be saying all the right things. But when you really analyze what they're saying and think about what they're saying is worldly, based on human wisdom. And so, in order to be careful of this and to be aware of this, we need to know His Word that much more. Right? Know what the Bible truly says. Right? Know what God's heart truly is. Be in tune truly with His Spirit, and not be convinced by these people who may be influencing you in these wrong ways. Right? So we need to be careful along the way. And we see examples of this even within the church, right? Within the local church. Right? Wrong wisdom disguised as God's wisdom. And this happens when conflicts arise in the church. Many church conflicts arise over theological issues, as Pastor Jeff mentioned last week. And there's a conflict over the way you practice communion, or the type of song you sing, contemporary or traditional. And there's even conflict over the direction and vision of the church at times, right? But, those may be more legitimate concerns that people may have, but there are also very silly and unimportant things that people get all worked up about. And it can cause a lot of conflict and hurt feelings as well. For example, there was a church I know that had a huge uproar, right? Huge. It was like a whole church-wide issue. And it was all over the type of choir robes they had, right? It was like, oh, we've had this type of color for 25 years. Like, why are we changing it now? You know, these were the types of issues coming up, and you know, some of you may think it's stupid or silly, but if you have been in church long enough, these are the types of issues that come up sometimes, right? And it is ridiculous, right? It is ridiculous. Who cares what color the robe is, right? In reality, it doesn't really matter. No one should care that much about that. But it becomes a deeper personal hurt feeling when you think of it and it snowballs and you think, you know, why is this person not considering my opinion? Right, that's what it comes down to, right? You may, it may be over a silly choir road, but then you think, Why are these leaders not thinking about my opinion? Why do they not care about my opinion? Am I not important? Am I not important to the church? Why do they get to make all the decisions? Why can't I have an opinion about this? And then it becomes a deeper issue, right? And, you know, you think, why do you want to do your own thing? Why don't you care about the congregation? Why don't you care about what the congregation thinks? Why don't you care about what we think? What kind of church does that? They don't listen to the congregation. And what is this all about? It started with the color of choir robes. But it becomes more personal when feelings get hurt. And it becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. And yeah, it may be a silly conflict, but there is deeply rooted hurt there. And we have to be careful of those situations. And we can't let these things get into our church and divide us. And don't get me wrong, conflicts are bound to come up. Conflicts are always going to come up. Conflict always comes when there are people together. Just all the married folk here, you guys know. Conflict always happens. Right? It happens in friendships. If you've been friends long enough, and if your friendship is fairly deep, you'll have conflict. Right? If you're not having conflict with your friendships, you are most likely having very shallow friendships. Let me just say that right now. If there's no conflict with your friendships, they're probably very shallow. Okay, so just think about that, all right? That's just an aside for you guys, all right? But what happens when people get together and there's conflict? You know, people get more stubborn. We get prideful, as we learned last week. Our pride puffs us up. We think we know more than we actually do. We refuse to say that we're wrong when we even know we're wrong. We refuse to back down because we don't want to look weak. And we don't understand the other side, the other side of the argument. And not because it's unreasonable, but simply because we're so stuck in what we think is right. Right? Our pride is just so big that we just cannot see the truth. And that's how these tensions build up. And when sinful people refuse to turn to godly wisdom, right? When sinful people get hung up on what I think is right, what I think is true, that is the definition of human wisdom, right? And that is what is hindering us from seeking God's wisdom. And what is God's wisdom in all this, in conflict? God's wisdom requires humility, right? God's wisdom requires patience. God's wisdom requires kindness. To not think about what I want, but to think about what the other person is saying to me, and to understand that, and to know where they're coming from, not just to get my way. And, you know, these things are silly, and most of the time they should not cause so much tension and conflict and even anger. But it happens when our hearts are not rooted in Christ, and we don't have God's wisdom working inside of us. This is what happens. When human wisdom is in our thinking, these things cannot be resolved because we're just so stuck in what we think is right, what we think should be happening. Instead of being humble and patient, right, we become proud and intolerant. We start to lose focus on how Christ fits into all this and what the Spirit is leading us to do. Like, if we just took a second to think about what does Christ think about all this, I think we would see he would not be happy about why we're fighting, about why we have these divisions, about why we have this conflict. Right? And, you know, these conflicts boil up and they cause people to leave churches. They create divisions and it can become a very toxic environment. And that is what worldly wisdom does. It poisons our thinking, and it causes division, it causes conflict, it leads us away from the Spirit of God. So depending on where our wisdom comes from, right, depending on where we gain our wisdom, it can lead us in two very different directions. That is why it is true that it says in verse 10, God's wisdom had to be revealed to us by Him and Him alone. It says this, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Right? God has revealed His Spirit to us. That is the only way we could ever receive His wisdom. Because again, we get so stuck in human wisdom and our own thinking. We don't see God for who He is until He shows it to us. He reveals it to us through His Spirit. Yeah, and Paul says, you know, we can never read God's mind. We can't read God's mind. He had to tell us somehow. He had to tell it to us. So when we are in tune with His Spirit, we are seeking His wisdom through the Word and through knowing and coming to Him. Right? Christ reveals Himself to us. That is the truth and promise that God has for us. Right? Christ's wisdom comes with His grace and love for us. So it's not like something we need to find some new method to get, right? Or try to have some habit or practice to gain God's wisdom. No, God gives it to us. You know, we don't have to read some Christian book to get better wisdom. No, God grants it to us when we are in tune with Him. When we are with Him and His Spirit. So we will simply gain wisdom by being in tune with the Spirit of Christ and enjoying His presence on a regular basis in our lives. Right? So when we regularly enjoy the presence of Christ in our lives, that is when we will begin to lay aside our pride. That's when we begin to gain His wisdom, to be able to make decisions that are pleasing to God, to do things that are pleasing to God. And we begin to hear God clearly in our lives. And our sins are not blocking us anymore. And we finally hear the Lord speaking to us. And these outside voices, though at times feel extremely strong, like I said earlier, these voices can even come from Christians, right? Quote unquote Christians, who may lead you to worldly things. And I know these voices can even be your loved ones, right? Your family members can lead you to worldly things. I have friends whose parents would say to them, like literally say, like, why do you spend so much time with people at church? Like, why do you spend so much time serving? Like, why aren't you studying more? Or why aren't you focusing on your career? Like, why aren't you trying to move up in your career? And these just aren't unbelieving parents. You know, these aren't non-Christian parents. These are quote-unquote Christian parents. These are the parents who brought you to church in the first place. And it's ironic, but this is how they've gained wisdom through the world. And they want your life to be that way as well. So they ask you, why do you spend so much time at church? Why do you do that? You should be studying more. You should be working on your career. You should be doing better at your job. And that's what happens. It's very alluring. That's what worldly wisdom does. And the evil one uses that to attack us. But Paul tells us here in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Right? We have the mind of Christ. So who is there to judge us? Who is there to judge us when we have the mind of Christ? Of Christ, we are united with Him, and we have His Spirit in us. So no one can judge us for seeking to live according to God's wisdom in our lives. No one can judge us for that. Not even our parents can judge us for that. Right? The world may consider us foolish for living our lives according to God's wisdom. People will call you foolish for not taking a six-figure job and instead getting paid half of that. The world would say you are an idiot for doing that. Why would you not take more money? You're literally an idiot. But that is not what God's wisdom is based on. Right? Let the world call you an idiot. Right? They have a different standard, a different wisdom. We don't need that. We don't need money to satisfy us. We have Christ that satisfies us. Right? So those influences, they may be strong. They're very strong. They feel very strong. But remember, no one can judge you for living according to God's plan for you and God's wisdom in your life. So my hope for us here is that we can begin to rely on God's wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. And that we will be able to discern the differences between the two, right? And we do that by knowing His Word, right? By digging into God's Word. And that means to regularly read God's Word, right? And by knowing Christ, knowing Him very intimately, and coming to Him in your life. And all of this is for the purpose of staying united, right? We want to live our lives with God's wisdom because we want to be united. We don't want to have these divisions that fracture us, so that we don't fight over petty things like choir robe colors, right? So we can be one body, so that we can live for the purpose of displaying the full glory of Christ. We don't want these divisions to stop us from doing our true purpose, right? To spread the gospel, to preach the truth, right? To show God's glory. And not just here as a church, but in our personal lives, in our everyday lives, that when we interact with people in our individual lives, that they would see the glory of Christ because you have God's wisdom in you. You have the Spirit of God working in you so that you're not making your decisions based on what the world says is right, but you're living your life based on the decisions of what God says is right. And I gave a lot of examples today because besides drawing closer to God in your personal life, or besides doing that and drawing closer to Christ, there is no better way to understand what it means to live with God's wisdom than to share examples of what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And there will be many more cases where it will be difficult to see what is right. Right. What is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? But to encourage us, those situations will definitely come where we're not sure what to do. But as long as we live with humility, as long as we rely on Christ and His Spirit, God will take care of everything else. Right? So when you fret about what job you should take, if you are truly coming before Christ and asking Him to help you discern and to show you wisdom, after that, whatever decision you make, it's going to be okay. God has a sovereign plan for you. And as long as you have truly taken that time to discern, to really seek God's wisdom, and to be ignore the worldly wisdom, if you've truly taken that time, and there really is no wrong decision. Because God will be with you if you are in tune with Him. God will guide you no matter what decision you make. And your decision won't be a wrong decision. You won't have to regret those things. God has promised to be with you and guide you. And if you are relying on Him, then that will happen. And I also pray and hope that when persecution comes as well, right, when people try to influence us in the wrong ways, that the Lord would grant us wisdom from the Spirit. Right? So may the Lord just grant all of you with His Spirit to help you to rely on Him, to know Him more, to know His Word, so that the wisdom of the Spirit will be what guides you and leads you in your life. And that even when the world thinks you are foolish and stupid and an idiot, that we won't be affected by those things. That all we need to turn to is God and know that we are fully fulfilled in Him, secure in Him, satisfied in Him, and knowing that we are doing the right thing. We are living the right way. Because we are living for the purposes of God's kingdom. And that we are choosing to live for His glory. So I pray that the Lord would grant us this wisdom here. and that it would happen for all of us, that the Spirit would come inside us and teach us what God's wisdom is. Bow with me. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to pray for God's wisdom in our lives. That we would not be influenced by worldly wisdom, that we would learn to be in tune with the Spirit, to long after God and long after Christ, so that we can do what is right in His eyes, so that we can truly live for His purposes and according to His will. And that even the difficult situations, the difficult decisions we need to make, right, that God would speak to us and help us to discern. And that we would be humble enough to lay aside our pride in what we think is right and instead turn to God and ask Him. So let's take some time now and pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us His wisdom so that we can live it out in our church and in our daily lives as well. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You humbled by who You are, Lord. Humbled by the cross of Jesus Christ. And Lord, because we see the gospel and we see Jesus, Lord, that is why we proclaim to be followers of You and followers of Your Son. And Lord, help us to truly live that out here in our lives. That God, we would not be influenced by what the world may consider to be right, what the world may consider to be the best decision to make. But instead, Lord, may we be guided by Your wisdom, Your Spirit that's come into our hearts. Lord, may we listen to that Spirit. May we be in tune with it. Lord, help us to know You more in that way, to draw closer to You, to long for You. And Lord, that we would see what Your Scriptures have to say for us as well. Heavenly Father, we admit that many times the outside voices, they speak loudly, and even louder than Your voice, Lord, and we listen to those voices more sometimes, and it may be because we don't want to disappoint those people, or we think those people are more important than You, Lord, and forgive us. Forgive us for thinking that. Forgive us for forgetting who You truly are, and forgive us for straying away from You in this way, God. And Lord, we know that it has caused a lot of sin in the church, a lot of sin in our lives, Lord. It has caused division, and it has caused conflict that it was unresolved. Lord, lead us by Your wisdom. Lead us. Teach us. Impart it in us, in our hearts, God. Because, Lord, when we rely on our worldly wisdom, our human wisdom, it fails. And we've seen it over and over again, but we still fall into that trap over and over. And God, just help us. We need Your Spirit to guide us and help us in this, Lord. And there's no other way for us to overcome it. And God, I pray that You would work in all of Cornerstone and in all of CCCS. That we would not be led by what the world thinks, but Lord, that instead we are seeking Your will in our lives, in our church. So Lord, again, we come to You humbly, asking for Your grace and love in this way. And we pray that You will truly, truly move powerfully in us and teach us so that we can be united for Your purposes, for the kingdom of God. So we can do Your mighty works, not our works, but Your works. And may You give us the grace and power and mercy to do this, Lord. Thank you again, God, for showing us this message and passage. May we continue to live for you and glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.